You know, this message is special because we exercise it every day. It is about the Lord's Prayer. And to remember that people get confused between the disciples' prayer and the Lord's Prayer. We find out that the disciples' prayer that the Lord taught the disciples is found in Matthew chapter 6. Then you had the Lord's Prayer, which is found in John chapter 17. This is a time when, as you remember, last week we looked at the three cardinal Christian virtues. We understood what there was. There was love, faith, and hope. And the disciples at this time, as you remember, the upper room discourse, and found in John chapter 14 through 17, there's a lot of red letters in there. But Jesus is trying to calm down the disciples because they were getting kind of antsy, maybe a little jumpy, because, look, they were being persecuted for their faith. They realized hanging around with Jesus can get you in all kinds of trouble. We are, as we know, as the wise saying goes, you are who you hang around with. You just go to a church you've never been to before, and you look at the different pockets of people everywhere, and you know that that's who they feel comfortable around with, and their character is built by that. And we looked at that last week, how God is very concerned with our character, our love that Jesus had for the disciples. He wanted them to love one another. Their faith standing strong, and the faith that they had in one another, well, they realized that they didn't have much faith because, hey, they realized that Jesus is speaking in parables. Jesus was talking about things that, you know, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meeting, right? Remember that in Sunday school. But, you know, they were looking at all this and they were like, okay, your hour is coming. What are you talking about? You know, communication is very important to us today, isn't it, in society? We need to communicate properly. I tell you what, I couldn't have sang up here with hope. Hope is like way out there as far as it goes for a teacher, which is a good thing. I don't mean she's outside somewhere and I can't find her. I mean that she's way up there because she knows her stuff. She's I hate to say, people say, well, I'm a professional. Well, she's like a professional to me. Faye is like a professional. They know what they're doing. Okay. So I gravitate to these ladies. And I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. Feed me more of this, what you know. So they help me to, with my voice, which it helps. And we're here today to help one another with our lives. So not only that, we looked at last week is love. If we have issues with people wherever we're at, remember, love covers multitude of sins. Love can take care of that person or this person we're struggling with. We look at faith. So they had to believe in faith in Jesus because they were resting. Their lives were founded on it. They had nothing except for their faith. And then, of course, we look at their hope. They wanted to believe, as we left off here in John chapter 16, verse 33, says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that is our hope. Okay? And it's one of the best four-letter words that you can say. I have hope. I have a love. Five-letter word. I have faith. So they were like, okay, we got it, Jesus. We don't understand. In our lives today, I hate to say this, but sometimes we're just there. And we're like, I don't understand this. But I'm going to have to trust you, Lord, and obey you, for there's no other way to what? Experience the joy of the Lord, to be happy in Jesus. So, you know, now we're looking at here the Lord's Prayer. Now, look, God is going to be praying, and he's going to be praying to the Father. You know, there's over 650 times prayers mentioned in the Bible, let alone, okay? There's a lot of times when prayer is that, what, that communication that we have to have with Jesus. And we can't do it alone. We have to have the Spirit that motivates us. Because the world look at us and they're like, okay, I have my repetitious prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And by the way, let's turn to that. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 13. We will get to John 17. And I'm very thankful for Paul reading all those verses. But you had to read them all together. You got to keep the context there. Because the next thing that happens to Jesus is what? He gets arrested. And I think that at this time, they're probably walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And they're still probably troubled in your heart, in their hearts. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, it says, Jesus says to his disciples, look, it says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love the praying, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Surely I say they will have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray that your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. There is a movie called The Prayer Closet. I'm sure we've all seen that, where the lady goes into her closet and prays. Well, where have we been this past week? I hope that we have all been in our prayer closets, because that's a personal time. Jesus is saying, look, when you give, you give in secret. When you pray in secret. That when you do this, your Father will what? Reward you openly. I'd rather have Jesus with me any day than having 5,000 people around me knowing me. I'd rather have Jesus any day. That alone will take care of the rest, because he holds everything together by his power. We looked at that in Colossians and Revelation. I said, this is like looking at a couch. If he's spoken into existence, it's like a couch being there and then dissipating. He holds everything together by the power of his word. It's amazing what a great and mighty and powerful God that we have. And then, so Jesus is saying here to his disciples about Matthew chapter 5, and he's saying, look, the hypocrites, those who are in the synagogues, it kind of reminds me of the priest in that day. They would go out in the open. And with their great, big, and mighty voices would say, you know, oh, great God, I am glad that I'm not like some of these heathens here. You know, these publicans, these tax collectors that were hated. And oh, boy, but you had that publican realize that he was worthless. He was just as... he was no better than mud on a street. He says, oh, God, have mercy on me. And he would pound his chest. He says, I'm not worthy. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. And he couldn't even look up to God. You know, and that's the attitude that God looks for in prayer. God looks for a humble and a contrite heart, a broken spirit. God, have mercy on me. And I tell you what, each one of us, and I know your hearts, you've been there and done that. God bless you. God be with you. God keep you. So, the other side, God does not answer that prayer for those priests, those high-minded people who say, thank God I'm not like those sinners. You know, God saying, look, when you pray, I'll reward you. You know, one person put it like this, would you rather have your reward here on earth, or would you rather have it in heaven? I'd rather have mine in heaven, because God knows it, you know. And when people beat their drum everywhere, you know, they want the praise from people. I want my praise from our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That's all that matters. Say, what's going on with that person? What's going on with this church? I'll tell you what, we are glorifying the Lord. We are. I don't look at numbers. Yes, I agree with Paul, absolutely. Lord, I'd love to see our church grow. I agree with Dex and with Bill and with the leadership here, the ladies and all of you, because we're a congregational church. We want to see it grow, but I know in our hearts we're doing the best we can. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do, our very best at work, at church, at home, giving it 300%. And sometimes we may not come across right, maybe a little bit off the wall. That's okay, because we're tired. We're giving it all we have. But you know what keeps us together, the world doesn't have, and you all know this online, is love. So, it says, do not, and when you pray in Matthew chapter 6, do not pray when you use vain reputations as the heathen do. They think they will be heard. In many words, prayer is not a rosary. You know, the Muslims and the Catholics use rosaries. It's a form of work salvation. My goodness, all I got to do is every day I could walk around. It doesn't matter what position I'm in. I can still pray to God. When we get back to John chapter 17, Jesus looked up. People think, well, I have to be in submission. I need to close my eyes and pray. There is nothing wrong with that, and there never has been. That's called submission. And if somebody wants to get on their knees and pray here in church, that's okay. They're not looking for fanfare. They're not trying to make a spectacle of themselves. God is looking at the heart, at the heart. And so when they think they'll be heard for their many words, verse 8, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things which you need before you ask them in his manner and pray. So this is the model prayer. This is different than the Lord's Prayer in John 17. It says, our Father who's in heaven. You know, Dick and I, we prayed yesterday. We had men's Bible prayer breakfast. Just he and I, but we had a lot to talk about our fathers, our earthly fathers. We had a lot to talk about our heavenly Father. So when our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's our time to worship. Okay? We're worshiping right now in spirit and truth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done willingly. Lord, I want your will to be done. You know, excite myself in the Lord. He will give the desires of my heart. As long as my heart's still breathing, got a healthy heart, I want to glorify God every day. What have I got else I got to live for? God has blessed me. God has given me so much. Overflowed my cup this week. But then there's a new theology going around called the kingdom theology. And that's talking about, oh, we don't have to go through this tribulation. There's a heretical theology going around called the kingdom theology. And it teaches that, you know what? Christians will usher in the kingdom. You got a lot of these churches nowadays that are packed to the doors. And even out in the streets are saying, oh, we want this. But you know what? Narrow is the way. Straight is the way. And Jesus said, it's going to be tough. But I'm going to be there for you. It's going to be rough. And you know what? When it gets tough, the people will get going for him. Then we see also here, give us a day our daily bread. And, you know, I joked the other day, I was thinking, you know what, running out of our daily breads already. It's talking about God's word. We need to get more daily breads out there. And, you know, we need the word of God. And forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors, our sins. And we, you know what, we have to forgive. This, maybe somebody this week has just tripped us over and is trying to set us up to sin against God and our flesh. And we're, every day it's the spirit fighting against the flesh. And Jesus says, you know, you have to forgive yourself, ask God for forgiveness, and forgive that person. And love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. We're talking about in the book of Revelation 2. I said, you know, by the way, half of our problems, we can't blame the devil because it's our own flesh or it's our own fault. We get ourselves in trouble. So let's just go ahead and let God take care of the devil and let us just be, Lord, we got to deal with ourselves now. What am I going to do? You know, help me this week. So we pray. This is all about prayer. He's with us. He's sealed us with his spirit. We belong to him. So we're not going to go anywhere because he's right there wherever we go. Lord, I don't need you today. So I'm going to go like the prophets of old. You know, they went running away. And that one dear prophet that was found by the Lord, Lord knew who he was the whole time. He was underneath the, remember Jonah? He was angry at the Ninevites. And he says, all those disgusting people, because he knew the horrible things they had done, but yet God forgave. But where did that leave Jonah? Jonah felt sorry for himself. And he just let himself get beat up all over by you know who. And yet God is saying, you know, I'm going to grow a gourd and going to let you cool down in the shade there. But Jonah, his heart wasn't right. So God had to deal with him. And you know what? God did some marvelous things through Jonah. We don't have time to get into. But just think of that, the moral characters that we have throughout the Bible. They're for you and I to learn from, so we'd be a stronger, healthy character. And so we need to deal that with that. And for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So that was what, going back to John 17, I had to say this, that the disciples already heard that. And they were like, okay, I got the outline. I have the outline, now I have to fill everything in. So what's my A, B, and C under point number one? Well, first of all, we see that Jesus prays for himself. Look at John chapter 17, and it says verses 1 through 5. Jesus spoke these words, lifted his eyes in heaven, and he looked up unto the Father. We should always be looking up to him, keeping our eyes focused on him. And he says, Father, as you have given him authority over all flesh, Father, the hour has come, in verse 1. That hour is coming, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's going to be coming. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh. He is looking forward to going home to be with the Father. We look forward to that. Did a funeral the other week, Saturday. I didn't know anybody there. The only people I knew was Faye and Colleen and Kimberly. But I knew Jesus too. The rest of the people, I said, she is in a better place right now. And I went through the story of Lazarus, gave 8 points there. But I said, Alice would want this for you. She's already at home with her Savior. But her husband went home to be with the Lord, by the way, some years before that. But she would want me to say that to their family. It's about over 100 people there. And I said, you know, you have to look at it that way. It's about Jesus, please. You know, she emphasizing, and, you know, you struggle and you burn in your heart. You want people to come to know Christ. So, verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to you as many as he has given to him. Verse 3, as this is the eternal life, as you may know that you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent and have glorified on earth and have finished the work which you have given me to do. A lot of people misunderstand these verses. And cults grab a hold of this and they say, oh, Jesus was just not God. But like it says in John, if they just turn back there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Not a God, article, you take the article out, A, but God. It is God. I tell you what, people today want to do anything but listen about Jesus. Everybody. You go out and you witness. You go to coffee shops. You talk to people on street corners. You all have done that. Go on knocking on doors. Whatever. I don't knock on doors, by the way, during the wintertime. People think you're crazy, you know. I go downtown. I just go around. It's amazing who God brings along, you know. And people are saying, okay, you just be praying the whole time. And the Lord says, okay, I want you to say this. Do that. I still want to street preach, but you know what? You have to get a license to do that here. It's kind of different. Some towns that I've been in, you can just go anywhere and start preaching, and you get a little crowd of people and get people looking at it like, what? And you get other people like, oh, this is interesting. And then you get some people just walk away. But there's few bystanders that they just listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Good news. So you have the cults are out of the way. The truth is here. People follow cults, and by the way, with cults, a lot of these cults, a lot of these people used to be in good fundamental churches. They used to be at one time. And I was like, well, I talked to one lady one time. She's a Jehovah's Witness. I said, why? She goes, well, I just didn't like the church. You know, she had an attitude, first of all. And I was just like, oh, why do you want an attitude? You know, it changed her heart, her whole demeanor. It colored her day. It made everything different. I'm like, why do you do that? Why? don't you know? She goes, well, I like it better where I'm at. And she got real curt with me and cutting. And I was just like, okay, you know, that's Lord, that's you, not me. As you're trying to get her. But I statistics tell you, once they get into that, walking away from the truth, they're gone. They're gone for the most part. So, but never give up on people. Never give up on your loved ones. Never give up on your neighbors. Always pray that they will come to know, even the ones you don't like. It even says that in Romans, that God will heap coals of fire on their head, their conscience. Get them thinking. You know, somebody at work who doesn't like you because you're a Christian. So, okay, love them. They can't get away from love. Love will just drive them nuts. And you say, you know, settle down. Let me give you some peace. Let me give you some tranquility. Let me tell you about Jesus. Okay. I have glorified you on earth, and says to the Father during his prayer, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself and the glory which I had with you from the world. So Jesus claims that he is the Word. He has claimed that he has been the Lamb of God in John. He has claimed that he is the Son of God in John. He has claimed that he is the King of Israel in John. He has also promised the Messiah, the bread of life, the life of the world, the great I am, the good shepherd, the resurrection of life, all mentioned in John. Why is he giving these pictures of that? You know, because he is the great I am. He is who he is. And if he can give pictures out to people who would understand, a shepherd, a piece of bread, whatever it is, people will understand that. You've got to meet today, you have to meet people culturally where they are. Sample Economwalk, very business-minded. People are out to make better and build better things and do better things. And they try to help one another out. Great community. Walsall, you have other places around. You have people trying to build a better community. But it is not going to work unless you have Jesus Christ therein. And so you got to be patient. We have to be patient with people. Like the disciples, they had to be patient and listen to God. Today, a lot of people don't want to listen to God. They're too busy. First of all, we looked at Jesus was praying for himself with the Father. Number two, verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. This is interesting because they know Jesus knows that the world is going to hate him. Remember, Jesus, he was born in a trough, in an animal trough. Remember that during Christmas, right? It wasn't too long ago, was it? We celebrated Christmas. And he came from a poor family, a carpenter's family. He didn't have that much. And then also, he was misunderstood. He was hated as he grew up, okay? He was pretty much a nobody until God and had decided, you know what, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Remember that when he was baptized in the Jordan River? Remember that? And Jesus started his ministry. And John said, behold, there is the Lamb of God that taketh away from the sins of the world. He must increase, I must decrease. And that's something I got to tell my ego about all the time. Me, I got to decrease, Jesus. I need more of you because I'm messing everything up spiritually today. So Jesus is saying, look, I'm praying for the disciples. He's praying for you and I. He prays to the Father even today. He's praying for us. He's interceding through the Holy Spirit. Okay, like even Paul said, that I could not utter in the third heaven, I could not utter or say unspeakable things that was so glorious, so much love. Since I have manifest, verse 6, your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. That means the church. He is man. Isn't that wonderful? The God of creation loves us, and he's interceding with the Father for us right now. It says, if they were yours, you gave them to me. In other words, Father, as Jesus was a servant, you know what? He died for the sins of man, and he gave them to the Father. And the Father, what? Gives them back to him. That's some theology work right there, so you can think about. So it's a beautiful relationship that we belong to the Father. We belong to the Holy Spirit. We belong to Jesus. That is just mind-boggling, and I'm just excited. And so They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word, talking about the church. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely, and I came forth from you and have believed and sent me. You know, this past week, I had just finished up with a missionary calls from Papua New Guinea with Summer Zimmer and about four other churches, and, you know, with the Streeters and all. And we're talking about what happened with the missionaries when they get home. Well, I'm hoping that Bill and Katie and the kids, along with Christopher, and by the way, I told Bill, I said, why don't you tell me what's going on with this passport? I want to know. I want to meet Christopher, that beautiful little baby boy. But he won't tell me. And we both kind of know that we have it in God's hand, that he's going to take care of everything. We hope they'll be here at the end of May, and, you know, they'll work things out because they have to finish their schooling over there, which Bill and Katie, well, Katie helps out. Bill's with the tech department. But it's interesting. We went through 5 weeks of getting to know other churches. I did, and we did it through Zoom, and it was just wonderful. But then we had 5 sessions that we might know, and this is just a little bit that we went through. How do we pray for our missionaries? How might we pray they be obedient to the Spirit of God? They might have God's wisdom in all contexts, that they may grow, that things may happen, God may be glorified. Also, they might have safety in their travels, that they might have sufficient support. What can we do for them when they get home? And I said to him, I said, you know, but our missionary is different. We have the Streeters, and you don't. You know, I didn't say that, but I said, you know what? They came home. I said, Bill came home first year I was here, and they had a little pop-up trailer tent because they were all talking about, you know, supplying homes and everything else. But I said, well, Bill's a real missionary. Boy, you know, he gets in a pop-up tent. He goes out to the state park, and gee whiz, he is just something else. And they stayed all week out there in the state park. I remember traveling down there with Kimberly, and it's just like, where are they at? And you look for these little signs, these numbers, and you find out where the little camping spot is. And there they are. And they were just all giggly and happy and everything else and full of joy. And they want us to stay for lunch. Of course, we did. And we had such a good time in the hot weather. And I thought, well, these are missionaries, let me tell you. But, of course, God has supplied them a vehicle. And they own their own home, of course. But, you know, they had places to go. But it was kind of fun to see them. They're independent. I was trying to tell these other churches, we got somebody who's independent, and by golly, they need God's help, and they got God's help. And you know what? We support them 100%. And you know what? They have that joy there. And, you know, when God has the joy in our heart, there is nothing that can break us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We know that God's in the midst of doing things. By golly, we are going to get things done. And that's what I think about. Think about Bill. And we need to pray for Brian and Donna right now. And we need to pray for, of course, for Grazianas. Thank you. I'm still learning to say that name. Really puts you to the grind. That's another going through that for homework. Going through the grind. And Proverbs, different grinds, you know, every day. But he gives us the smooth spots and lets us sail right through. So, the Lord is saying, you know what? He's praying for his disciples. Moving on down here, it says here that while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, and those who gave me I have kept, and none of them except for the son of perdition, and of course that was Judas, and so there was only 11 at this time. Judas went his own way, unfortunately. He was without excuse because he kept on denying the Lord, and the Lord loved him regardless, but the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I love that attitude right there. And, you know, when Jesus is praying, can you imagine being in that walking with Jesus or in the room. Where the Bible doesn't say exactly where they were at this point in time, but I think they were walking toward the garden suddenly. Can you imagine just the attitude that they had? And can you imagine the joy that Jesus is saying, you will have joy. You will be scattered like sheep. You will actually be in the upper room a few months later. Remember, Jesus appeared for 40 days, and then Pentecost came. Well, those disciples had no idea what was going to happen. And let me tell you, today we have no idea what can happen for the rest of the day or tomorrow, but we trust the Lord, right? So we pray. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of this world. Kind of neat, isn't it? We're not of this world. You know, spiritually, yeah, we're here, we're living. We've been born here. We'll die here unless the Lord comes back. But you know what? We're not of this world. And thank God for that. You know, we are of the world, but we're not in the world. You know, so if that makes sense. Yeah. So Jesus wants us to be not of the world, live like the world, but he wants us to be in the world. He wants us to be in the world doing things for him. The idea of world has the idea of world system. Okay, the devilish things that the world has. It says that in James chapter 3. We need not to be in the world, things of the world, but we need to have godly wisdom instead of ungodly wisdom. So it says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Okay, so God wants us to know that he's not going to allow anything to happen to us unless he has a reason. Isn't that assuring? That regardless of what happens to us, say, Lord, thank you that this happened, no matter how bad it is. Have to give the thanks for all things. You know, the devil hates that because then he knows he doesn't have his foot in the door. If you're giving thanks, and you know what? Not every day we're going to praise Jesus. That is a big lie, because unless things happen to us, you know, if we're lived in a perfect world, well, nothing would go wrong, would it? So why do you think Jesus says you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have trials, you're going to live in a cursed world, and you're going to have trials so that what? That I may help you, deliver you. You see the equation with love there? He's saying trial plus you equals what? Joy, help, growth. I'm going to be there with you. Say, why am I going through this all the time? Oh, I've had people do the, oh, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that. I feel for you, brother and sister. You know, I got that, okay? But I know so, too, that this equals Jesus. Jesus will get us through. And I know it's hard for each one of you. It's tough. Verse 16, let me encourage you. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then we see, so that's number one. So we're already with Jesus. Jesus is not of the world. We're not of the world either. Number two, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So God wants us to be separated, set apart in truth. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we have problems. But you know, Jesus can sanctify us with truth. If we have the truth, nothing can get in our way. Like I said last week, that belt of truth on our armor, if that's gone, guess what? We're going to have issues with our armor, aren't we? So we got to stay in the truth, in his word, and keep on confessing our sins to Jesus and keep on fighting back. We're fighters today. We are. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have. So God has sent us into the world with a mission to continue to do, not just here today, but in many places. And to evangelize and to live Christ. And for their sakes, I have sanctified myself that they also may be sanctified by truth. And then we see Jesus prays for all believers. He says, now this is talking about for all those who are to come and those, remember, you can't pray for people that are in heaven already. You're praying for those who are now and those who are in the future, and that God's will be done. I do not pray for those alone, but I also pray those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, and for you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So we know as a church today, we are together as one. One according to God's word. We have that one thing to have fellowship with the Lord. And that the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, and I in them, and you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them, and you have loved me. Remember, he is praying to the Father. Think about your own prayers. When you're thinking, you know, you're alone, you're praying. And when you get older, you realize that it comes more easily because you've given up a lot of those things in your life that you don't need. I used that illustration as a trash can there in the Sunday school room. I said, you got issues, problems? Throw them in the trash can. Nobody likes to go through trash, do they? No. When you take your problems to the cross, you don't have to go back to them. You know, you just need to hug that old rugged cross. You need to grab hold of it. Give it a good hug, because Jesus knows that each one of us has our cross today. Take it with you, and don't ever let go of your cross. It's there for us. And it says here that my Father and I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that there may be, behold, my glory which I have given thee, and you loved me before the foundation of the world. You remember this? Jesus has loved us before the foundation of the world. Who cares about election and all this other stuff that people get so wrapped up in churches? I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. I think when you say to people, look, God foreknew, he knew for his foreknowledge, who would be saved and who wouldn't? He doesn't send some people to hell and other people to heaven. Yes, there is that word election. I'm giving up very little time here, practically no time at all. God knows who is his and who isn't. And if somebody online, if you know that you're not God's, then you need to look at your heart, you need to check out your mind and realize that, you know, I'm tired of playing games. I need you, Jesus. I need you to come into my heart. I need you to save me. By faith, I believe in this. And in my mind, I realize that in his death, burial, and resurrection. And live out your faith in sanctification before the Lord. But get along with him and realize, you know, so many churches today put on a big fanfare. They put on a lot of light shows. They put on a lot of music blaring it up loud. And you walk away. I've been to some of these big churches out here, and I'm like, my spirit can't even be in there for 5 or 10 minutes. Somebody said, well, we can have praise and worship for 45 minutes to an hour. Then we will have the preaching. But I tell you what, it would have put the light out in my spirit if I had to sit through all that for all that time. I'm like, I want to hear the word. You know, yeah, I love music. I love the hymns. I love music that we have here. But by golly, we just need more of the word today. There's more and more Bibles being closed and more people going on feelings. And the world, you can't tell the difference between a church and a bar or a disco club nowadays. Somebody say, well, that's blasphemous. No, it's the truth. You know, and I wonder if Jesus came walking down the aisle in some of these churches that he would be ashamed. You know, and I don't think it's no different it was in Jesus' time as it is here today. A lot of people are like, well, who are you, Jesus? You know, and they were that today. And, you know, it's up to God. It's up to God to judge those churches. It's not my job. It says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, that I have declared unto them your name. I will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Isn't that wonderful as I'm closing here? That fellowship that the Father had with Jesus through the Lord's Prayer, not the disciples' prayer, Matthew chapter 6, that he had, that was a glimpse. You know, I would have to say this before I close. Be very careful when you pray with one another. And try to be courteous and nice. Because I understand some people have this spirit comes upon them. They're like, I got to pray. One person said this a long time ago. Actually, my pastor said this. He says, you know, it's a true story. He goes, you got to believe this, Alan. He says, I had a guy visit my church, asked him to come up and pray. He goes, another man was up here. I forgot if he's a deacon or an elder. And he had a rip in his pants. And he was embarrassed. And my pastor was sitting next to him. And this guy got up and he prayed. It must have been 10 minutes. And I was like, oh my goodness, 10 minutes. I said, okay, I got that. Nothing wrong with prayer. Hey, but remember, this guy got up. He went down to the parsonage, changed his pants, came back up, came through the back door, sat back down, and guess what? The guy was still praying. You know? So what I'm trying to say, if you want to pray with one another, great, but don't make it super long prayers, because I'll be honest with you, on the receiving end, I find it kind of hard to think, and then I can't remember everything, if that makes sense. But, you know, it shows that person needs to pray in public for a long time. Maybe they haven't been praying like they should. I don't know. But I remember a pastor saying that. And just, you know, great, we need prayer. We need prayer. So, with that being said, just remember, and I have other things to say, but I think I'm out of time. And, you know, nobody wants to hear a message that goes on and on. I'm like, okay, I heard what I said. You know, you just got to stop while you're ahead. The Lord says stop, and I need to stop. So I need to stop. And I think you all understand where I'm getting at. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you set examples for us all through Scripture, even when you weren't in the body. You know, in the Old Testament, you set examples for us here in the New Testament. We thank you for both. We thank you for the inerrant Scripture. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made it very plain and simple. Even a five-year-old could understand how to pray. And we thank you that you gave us a glimpse of, yes, you did spend many hours in prayer with the Father alone. You know, where's Jesus? He's out there, you know, praying. And you slept very little because you knew that the hour is coming. Lord, we pray for those who don't know about your hour. They will come to know your hour. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sweet, sweet prayers that we can have for one another. The example that you've been to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.